This recording of a channeling session is intended for your personal use only and is protected by copyright. Please do not duplicate it for any commercial means, and please do not post it to any website. Feel free to post a link back to it on www.josiah.com. Thank you.
Well now, it is indeed a pleasure to be invited once again to our Barbarian level. And before we begin, we would like to suggest to you that the opportunity for you to interact in that silent communication or that telepathic interaction or that exchange of information with other entities exists and continues to exist for each of you. You have but to express the intent and enter into that altered state of meditation to have that opportunity to appreciate and to be involved in that interaction and that exchange of information. And once again, many times the information that you receive in that altered state of consciousness is not readily available when you return to your so-called conscious state. However, you through your day-to-day activities and you are involved in your creation process, indeed, you will have the opportunity to have what you refer to as intuitive suggestions and interactions with that person that you refer to as your higher self that assist you in understanding and in the creation of your reality and in the creation of your day-to-day interactions with other entities and your appreciation of your responses and your emotions and feelings that you experience as a result of that interaction and as a result of the beliefs that you hold that are influencing the reactions that you experience in those interactions with other entities. However, as always, once again, the choice to be involved in that interaction and that silent communication is yours, absolutely. Now, there are a couple of paradoxes that apply to the information that we've attempted to express to you in this afternoon. And the first is that you enter into this vibrational level by choice. And when you enter into this vibrational level by choice, you agree to participate in what we refer to as the human consciousness concept and belief system, and that you will limit your capacity in all levels of your consciousness to understand absolutely who and what you truly are, to understand that you are in control of this creation and of this reality that you experience in this vibrational level. Even in your so-called between incarnational periods, what you refer to as dying, you don't really die, you simply alter your consciousness one step beyond what you might refer to as a deep dream state. And in that level of consciousness, there still exists this so-called veil, this electromagnetic cap of energy that limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. However, as you deepen, if you wish to use that terminology, you may reverse it and say as you heighten your level of awareness and consciousness, you thin that veil. And so in your between incarnational states, indeed the veil is much thinner than it is when you're in your awakened consciousness state. However, it still exists. And you have agreed to participate in sustaining, maintaining that electromagnetic type of energy. And the paradox is that in your awake consciousness state, you exert so much effort to understand who and what you truly are, to understand that which you have agreed to not understand, that which you have agreed to make inaccessible to all levels of consciousness in this vibrational level. And you do that for a very simple reason. And the reason is that when you're existing in this vibrational level in your awakened consciousness state, if you don't understand that you are the creator of your reality, then the reality appears to be so much more real and beyond your capacity to control. Your choice to be involved, absolutely. And yet, you choose as well to not understand the full extent of your involvement. You choose to limit your capacity to consciously be involved in the creation of this reality. You choose not some other entity. Absolutely not. You choose to put in place and to sustain that electromagnetic type of energy to be involved in this creation process with what you might call a cooperation of all the other entities, a consensus to perpetuate the veil and to exist in your vibrational level. You choose that which you desire to sustain and which in your human consciousness you attempt to break through, to understand. A paradox, absolutely. And so it comes to your second paradox, in that indeed it's much easier for you in your awakened consciousness state to believe that you're not in control. You see, in your awakened consciousness state, if you believe that you're not in control, then you indeed fulfill that particular element of agreement that you choose to enter into this vibrational level without understanding the creation process of who and what you truly are. You agree, and yet the paradox is that you create the reality regardless. You in your awakened consciousness state, by allowing through a belief system to have experience that infer that there are other entities in control, indeed, once again, fulfill what it is that you came into this particular vibrational level to experience. And that's the intense range of emotions and feelings. The paradox is that you create it all anyway. You simply choose to hide from that understanding. You are the creators of your reality. Your reality is a reflection of the beliefs that you hold. We've suggested that many, many times, not only in this brief period of this incarnational period, but as we've suggested in other so-called interactions with individuals in your vibrational level, we have interacted in this manner throughout what you might refer to as your history. The irony of it is that your history exists in the now. It's created over and over in the now. It doesn't seem to matter what type of terminology we attempt to give an explanation of the now. It just never fits. You see, all of the explanations are based upon your concept of time and space, using a vocabulary indeed that refers to some period in time and space. The now refers to an instant between your past and your future. Some misconstrue that when we refer to the now, that we're referring to the present, and it's not that at all. When we refer to the now is encompasses your past and your present and your future. You see, all of the terminology is based upon your belief in time and space. Two of the most difficult human consciousness concepts and belief systems for you to step outside of while you are in your awakened consciousness state. In altered states of consciousness, in meditative states or dream states or between incarnational states, indeed you experience many times realities that are outside of the limitations of this concept of time and space. You can be in a different time zone if you wish, or a different period of your history, even in a different what you refer to as a lifetime or an incarnational experience. You can be on the other side of your so-called earth system if you wish. The limitations to time and space only exist in your awakened consciousness state. In altered states of consciousness, you can experience interactions in what you refer to as other times or other spaces. Absolutely. The irony of it is that when you come back into your awakened consciousness state, you look at that altered state of consciousness and you believe that that's the imaginary state. Well, I was just imagining it. Many individuals who become involved in meditative states or altered states of consciousness, and during those altered states of consciousness they experience interactions in other lifetimes, if you wish, or other incarnational periods, and they come back into the awakened consciousness state. The awakened consciousness state rationalizes that that was just my imagination. because you choose to put in place that veil that limits your capacity to bring back into your consciousness state the understanding that time and space are illusionary. And so that altered state of consciousness experience seems like the imaginary one, and actually it is much closer to the real experience than what you have in this illusionary reality in your awakened consciousness state. A difficult concept for you to grasp, absolutely, and once again, referring back to the paradox where you indeed choose to put in place the limitations, and yet when you're in your awakened consciousness state, wish to exist without the limitations. So in those altered states of consciousness, you can experience this existence outside of time and space. Time and space, once again, are very difficult belief systems for you to alter in your awakened consciousness state. If you believe, once again, that this is it, that this is the most important part of your existence, and it really isn't. It really isn't. It's important, but not the most important. Absolutely not. In order to grasp an understanding of the concept of creation, it's necessary to go within thought. And you can do that in various manners. And many of you refer to altered states of consciousness as meditation. And there are different terminologies that you use to describe meditation. It can be meditation through simply individuals sitting down and expressing to alter their consciousness. And when you close your eyes, you've already begun to alter your consciousness. The consciousness begins to go inside. The instant you close your eyes, you shut off some of the outside that you see for the most part of your existence on a daily basis. You begin to go within thought, absolutely. And it can be an individual, once again, solitary type of consciousness alteration. An alteration of your consciousness where you indeed maintain some type of awareness of what it is that's occurring in your consciousness or subconsciousness while eliminating your awareness of the reality, illusionary reality that's around you in your so-called awakened consciousness state. What you refer to, once again, is meditation. And so you enter into that altered state of consciousness either through an individual effort or you can do it through what you refer to as a visualization, in which you have a specific element that you attempt to visualize. And once again, you can do that on an individual basis, or you can do it through what you refer to as a guided meditation, where you have an individual or some type of recording or some type of element that you have put in place, that you follow certain steps in order to enter into, once again, that altered state of consciousness, in which someone suggested you alter your consciousness through various methods and that you have certain types of imagery that you bring into your so-called subconsciousness, into your, what you refer to as imagination, so that you can have the experience in an altered state of consciousness and come closer to the understanding of who and what you truly are. It's very difficult to give an explanation of what you will experience, because the experience is based upon your individual belief systems. When you exist in this vibrational level, in all levels of consciousness, the reality you experience is a reflection of the beliefs you hold. When you enter into meditative state, when you enter into your so-called dream state, and even into your between incarnational states, when you die, in other words, and end the disincarnational period, the reality that you are experiencing is indeed influenced by your belief systems. So even in that altered state of consciousness, the reality that you will experience is reflected in your belief systems. And your belief systems are reflected in your reality. even in altered states of consciousness. So for an individual, an entity, whether it's an entity inside your vibrational level or outside, it really doesn't matter. An entity is an entity. For an entity to suggest to you that when you enter into a metastatic state, that you will experience this and this and this, is to assume that that entity knows exactly what your belief systems are. And it's not that way. The reality you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold in all levels of consciousness. Now, in those altered states of consciousness, in that meditative state, and depending upon how far you go in a meditative state, it's possible to go in a meditative state and to experience a type of reality or an understanding of reality that's as far removed from your so-called awakened consciousness state as you are at when you are in your between incarnational states. That understanding is not limited to an individual who dies, in other words. You can experience that in your so-called altered states of consciousness. Absolutely. What are the limitations? The limitations are the beliefs that you hold. That's your limitation. And so it's possible to have that experience. It's also important to understand that even in that altered state of consciousness, when you die and enter into the between incarnational state, the realities that you experience are a reflection of the beliefs that you hold. If you believe you're not in control, then you will not be in control. If you believe that there are other entities that are creating your reality, then you will experience interactions with those other entities. When you are in that altered state of consciousness, however, you are, once again, getting at a level of consciousness, be it up or down, depending on which way you want to go, you are at a level of consciousness whereby the veil is thinner than it is in your awakened consciousness state. And so it becomes much more difficult to sustain realities without understanding that the reality that you are sustaining is indeed a reflection of your beliefs. It becomes much more difficult for you to believe that you're not in control because you begin to offer that reality. And many of you have experienced that in your so-called dream states when you're involved in what you would refer to as a very deep dream state, and you have that capacity to interact in that dream state, to be a conscious participant, if you wish, in that dream state, and to influence and direct which type of reality you wish to experience while in that dream state. It's an understanding, if you thin the veil, that you are much more in control. And so it is when you're in that between incarnational state, you begin to get glimpses of the extent that you have upon influencing your reality by altering your beliefs. And it becomes much more difficult to sustain a reality where you believe you're not in control. Similar to, it's much more difficult in your awakened consciousness state to believe that you are in control. It's like reversing that process. And so you're in that altered state of consciousness where you begin to understand indeed that you are in control. And it's possible once again for you to reach that particular level of consciousness from your incarnational period through what you refer to as meditation without really dying. You don't have to die to have that experience. It's your experience. You don't die ever. You simply alter your states of consciousness. The dying affects those that remain in that incarnational period and perpetuate within that incarnational period the belief in time and space. For them it's real. It's not real for those entities who die, if you wish to use that terminology, for entities that choose to alter their state of consciousness and to leave this incarnational period. You see, in this incarnational period, you validate the passage of time and space by existing within a physical being, if you wish, that progresses, that ages. You see, that age process validates the passage of time and space. If it didn't ever change, then there would be no concept of a passage of time or space, and you would lose that very human consciousness belief system of evolution, you know, the passage of time and space, of there being a past and a present and a future and of your capacity to influence the future, but the past is set in stone. It's what you believe in your awake consciousness state. In altered states of consciousness, particularly in that between incarnational state, you begin to understand that it's not that way at all. That you can influence all of the realities that you're involved in. You can reach that state, once again in a meditative state, in an altered state of consciousness, while in this incarnational period. And when you're involved in those so-called other realities, in those other incarnational periods, you bring back the memory. And after a while, you can begin to accept that it's real. And it's not just your imagination. Although it may seem like your imagination, and individuals who have been involved in that process many times of your so-called regression process. A very limited term which we hesitate to use, because regression, once again, is based upon your concept of time and space, and it means that you go back. To regress is to get less or to go back. Why can you not go forward? Some individuals have incarnational experiences in what you might refer to as your future. Because in that altered state of consciousness, they begin to accept that time and space are illusionary. And you can have all types of experiences in any incarnational period, absolutely, not just your past. However, for many individuals, the future is inaccessible. The future is something that has not occurred. The future is something that you can have an influence upon. So if you experience it, it can't be real. Must be illusionary, because it hasn't occurred. How can something be real that hasn't occurred yet? In your awakened consciousness state, that's how it's reasoned, that's how you see it. In altered states of consciousness, it's not that way at all. We continuously refer to you being involved in past lives and having the capacity to choose to reincarnate. We continuously suggest to you that when you're in that between incarnational state, when you die, when you end this incarnational period, that you will have choices to come back into this incarnational period, or you will make the choice to leave this vibrational level, and we continuously put that upon you will have. Which is to once again refer to your belief in time and space. The irony of it is that that's an illusion. Time and space are not real. They only are real in your awakened consciousness state. They are only real as a result of your choosing when you enter into this vibrational level to perpetuate what we refer to as the human consciousness belief systems, and one of them being that time and space do exist. So in your awakened consciousness state, it's very difficult to step outside of that concept, and it's very difficult for you to grasp this concept of the now, and that all your incarnational periods are occurring in the now. And so we give you information based upon a vocabulary that utilizes your belief in time and space to give you an understanding of the concept, but really, you exist in the now. You exist in all levels of consciousness. It's only in your awakened consciousness state that you believe in the limitations, that you choose, once again, to be involved in this creation process where you believe you're not in control. So many times the reasons why you are here are so simple is to be beyond your ability to accept and to believe in your awakened consciousness state. You are here by choice. You are here to experience an intense range of emotions and feelings that cannot be experienced in any other vibrational level throughout all of creation. This vibrational level that you choose not only to exist in, but to create and perpetuate, is a vibrational level in which you exist within the limitations of a veil, the limitations of an electromagnetic type of energy that limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. And you do so so that the reality can seem beyond your capacity to control. And as a result of being beyond your capacity to control, you enhance the intense emotions and feelings. It's really that simple. Many would like to make it much more difficult, Absolutely. Because you see, if it's much more difficult, then it validates that you're not in control. Many would like to believe that indeed they're put here by some other entity. You see, then you're not in control, and it's not your choice. Many would like to believe that the realities that they experience in their day-to-day activities are not the result of what they choose, but as a result of interactions and choices of others that are influencing their reality. It's not that way. It's not that way. The reality you experience is a reflection of your beliefs. And yet, by being involved in that process, you do indeed have the opportunity to experience a reality that seems to be beyond your control. And as a result, the emotions and feelings can be much more intense. And that's why you came here in the first place. That's why you choose to exist within your vibrational level. It's really that simple. It really, really is that simple. You are the God that you search for. You create your reality, and you cannot fail. You come to this vibrational level by choice, so that you can experience an intense range of emotions and feelings in a reality that appears to be beyond your control when you are at your awakened consciousness state of consciousness. It's really that simple. We would challenge any entity in your awakened consciousness state to look at any activity that you're involved in and to break it down, to why you're involved in that activity. And without exception, you will come to the conclusion that it's because you ultimately wish to experience an emotion or a feeling. It's really that simple. Many individuals in your awakened consciousness state believe that through consumption of certain elements that they will have a more fulfilling experience. And while we hesitate to give one direction, because it's all up to you to change and do what you wish to do, we would suggest to you that many times when an individual has before them the opportunity to be involved in some type of materialistic possession or obtaining some materialistic type of possession versus the opportunity to be involved in some type of an adventure, that the involvement in the adventure will have much more lasting meaning and benefits than will the acquisition of the materialistic possession. Because you exist in this vibrational level to experience realities that allow you to experience intense ranges of emotions and feelings. Acquiring the materialistic possession will give you a very limited, short-term type of euphoria. Being experiencing in some type of an adventure will allow you to experience many emotions and feelings and will have a much more longer and lasting effect on your reality and on your belief systems than the acquisition of materialistic things. Now, we would welcome any questions that you may have for us.
Grief. Can you speak on grief? Is it a loss or a moving on? Grief, I guess, as somebody dying or the loss of a relationship.
What you experience in your awakened consciousness state is a creation that validates beliefs that you hold, and it is indeed a creation in conjunction with other entities validating various beliefs that they hold. And so you agree to be involved in that situation, to experience the emotions. Grief being one of the very intense ranges of emotions that you can experience, particularly when you believe that you're not in control or have no influence upon that reality. And it's really not that way. The spark of consciousness that you are rejoices at the creation of a particular reality. And your belief influences how you will interact in the type of emotions and feelings that you will take away from that particular interaction or day-to-day activity. So when something occurs that allows one to experience what you refer to as grief, what in your awakened consciousness state you refer to many times as a negative type of reaction or experience or emotion, the spark of consciousness that you are rejoices at that type of creation. When someone dies, they enter into an altered state of consciousness where they understand, as we have suggested, that they are much more in control of this reality than what it's possible for you to understand in your awakened consciousness state. They do not die. They perhaps end this agreement to participate in this incarnational period, but they do not die. You, as an entity existing and interacting with that other entity, agree that, all right, we'll have this experience. And then as you have that experience in your awakened consciousness state, depending on the beliefs that one holds, one has a certain reaction to that particular interaction. And it may be what you refer to as grief. It doesn't have to be that way. Consider that entities involved in relationships that end don't necessarily mean that one is experiencing grief. Maybe exactly the opposite. It may be that one experiences some type of euphoria in an ending of a relationship that they found less than desirable. We've suggested many times that when one becomes involved in the process of understanding who and what you truly are, that one begins to indeed enter into a different type of existence, and you hold different belief systems. And if you hold that belief system, and other entities that you're involved with hold other belief systems, many times your so-called relationships in your awakened consciousness state will change. It can be an abrupt change or a gradual change, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Time and space are illusions. And so, depending upon that interaction with that other individual, the relationships can change. And it's not a good or a bad thing unless in your awakened consciousness state, once again, you perceive it to be a good or a bad thing. The spark of consciousness that you are creates the reality that validates the beliefs that you hold, and it does so from a position of absolute and unconditional love. To experience grief is a choice based upon your beliefs. Involved in a relationship that ends, why did it end? A very good question that one must ask. And if it ended because individuals choose to hold different belief systems, it's important to understand that at some level of your consciousness, you have agreed to validate belief systems. You've entered into agreements with other entities. Be they agreements that you were aware of consciously or not, it doesn't really matter. If you hold certain belief systems and another entity holds other belief systems, and then at some level of your consciousness you agree to validate your belief systems by ending what you refer to as relationships, it allows you the opportunity to have that experience. In certain societies, when someone dies, and they leave, many individuals will grieve over that. They feel a loss. And yet in other societies, it's not a grievance at all. It's a time for celebration and joyous occasion. They believe that that entity has gone to a better place. And so the belief that they hold indeed is validated in the reality that they experience, and their beliefs indeed influence their reactions to that interaction and to that experience. Two individuals observing exactly the same type of reality, one experiencing grief, the other experiencing some type of joy. The circumstance doesn't change. The beliefs are changed. The beliefs are opposite, which allow them to experience, indeed, different emotions and feelings. The reality you experience is a reflection of the beliefs that you hold. Your emotions and feelings, indeed, are influenced by your thoughts and choices, are influenced by your beliefs and your attitudes. Absolutely. And so your emotions and feelings are a reflection, once again, of your beliefs. They're a reaction to a reality that you agree to participate in, that allows you the opportunity to experience that emotion and feeling. Only in your awakened consciousness state do you look at a feeling of grief as being a negative emotional feeling. In your so-called subconsciousness, there is no such thing as a negative emotion. The spark of consciousness that you are creates the reality you desire that does so joyously, without judging as to whether it's right or wrong. It's in your awakened consciousness that you believe that certain emotions and feelings are negative. We would suggest that the only negative emotional feeling is one that is not expressed. If you experience an emotion of love and you do not express that, if you hold that in and you attempt to suppress it, then it can become a negative emotion. It can become one that causes you to feel very negative emotions and feelings. If you express it, then you can allow it to blossom. If you experience anger and you suppress it, it can become a very negative emotion. If you express it and allow it to dissipate, then you can get on with your life. You can get on with this understanding that indeed the reality you're experiencing that was responsible for that anger in the first place was your creation, was your responsibility. You begin to understand that your so-called negative emotions become more and more infrequent, and the so-called positive emotions become more and more frequent. The choice is yours, absolutely. Does that answer your question?
I want to ask more about the paradox. So we are each God incarnate, and we are experiencing separateness, even though in our spiritual side we are in togetherness, in unity. And so through that separateness we are experiencing emotions that we want to experience. And yet it seems that it's always seemed to be desirable to focus on the spiritual side and to think that the physical side is somehow lesser. And it seems that in the world today there's a lot of emphasis on this, and that it seems to be desirable that we know that we are creating our own reality and that somehow that we could improve the world in some way if we could express our spiritual side more. But I'm wondering is that sustainable, in the sense that if we understand it too greatly, won't the whole thing unravel? Won't we, is there any going back to the system of separateness again once we all understand our, I guess, the reality that you tell us?
First of all, the separatism is illusionary. you exist in this vibrational level by choice, and you put in place that electromagnetic type of energy that we refer to as the veil. And we've suggested many times that were you to have an absolute understanding of who and what you truly are, chances are you would not remain in this vibrational level. You're here by choice. You're not here because some entity put you here. You're here by choice. You sustain that electromagnetic energy as a human consciousness concept in which everyone agrees to participate and to sustain. Absolutely. And so, you're here by choice. You are indeed all that is. Now, it becomes very difficult to give an explanation of what that is, of who and what you truly are. It's why we suggest you must go inside. You can't read it in a book. There's no explanation that gives you an accurate description of who and what you truly are. It's just not possible. You see, when we suggest that you're a piece of the one, it's like suggesting that there's this larger one and you're a small piece, and it's not that way at all. And yet you are all that is. It becomes very difficult to give an accurate explanation. We suggest that you exist throughout your entire universe, and you do, because it's illusionary. You exist in each and every atom, but then so does every other entity existing in your vibrational level exist in each and every atom, because it's illusionary. And so it's difficult, it's impossible to give you an accurate explanation. Now, to bring that understanding of who and what you truly are into your conscious state is not possible in your vibrational level, because you choose to make it impossible, because you agree to participate in the sustaining of that veil that limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. It's really that simple. It doesn't matter how hard you try. You will get glimpses, and you can get an understanding of the capacity to be involved in the entire creation. But to hold that into your so-called conscious state is not possible. As we've suggested many times, if you were able to hold within your so-called mental capacity an understanding of all of the interactions that you're involved in all of the vibrational levels, in all of the so-called incarnational periods, you would be in what you refer to in your awakened consciousness state as a state of insanity. You couldn't sustain it. You can't. It wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't fall into what you agree to participate in. And that is this illusionary reality. Many individuals believe, indeed, that if they become involved in some type of a spiritual quest for something that they're searching for, they're searching for something that you can't lose. You can't lose your spirituality. It's who and what you truly are. You hide from it, but you can't lose it. It's like sticking your right hand behind your back and then saying, I wonder where that went to. You can't lose it. It's there. You can choose to hide from it so you can't see it, but you can't lose it. It's there. Now, when you attempt to believe, indeed, that if you could just bring all of that into the so-called conscious state that you can influence and have a better outcome for the entire world, is to put in place some type of limitation on the entire world to have their ability to access free will. You can't ever take away the free will of another entity. What other entities are experiencing in your world, and you look at them and say, I don't agree with that, I don't think that that's right, I wish that they didn't have that reality. Understand that they're having that reality because it validates the beliefs that they hold. They look at your reality and say, well, I wish I didn't have that reality. I don't think they should be involved in that. I'd like to change their reality. That wouldn't be very good, would it? In fact, you see that type of a conflict going on throughout your entire universe right now, where one individual believes his way is the right way, and if they just do it his way, they could heal the world. And the other individual on the other side of your world says, well, I wish they'd do it our way because ours is the only way. To impose that type of influence upon other realities and upon other entities is to take away their free will. And you would not ever take away someone's free will. You can't possibly do that. The key is to accept who you are. The key is to grasp an understanding that the reality that you create is created from a position of absolute and unconditional love. And so is the reality that the other entities are experiencing. Right or wrong is an awakened human consciousness concept. We've suggested many times that you as a human consciousness are entering into what we refer to as a new age and new energy. A very simple and subtle shift in this electromagnetic type of energy that you have agreed to put in place and to sustain. That veil, if you wish to use some type of terminology to give it a name, that veil is thinning ever so slightly if you wish. And as a result, it's possible for you, in becoming even more and more possible, to be involved in a type of creation experience where you can consciously influence the reality that you're experiencing at a level that has not been available to you in your so-called past or in your history. Now, there are many entities that would look at that and say it's just a bunch of baloney, and that's fine. This is not something you have to believe in or don't have to believe in. We're simply suggesting to you that as a human consciousness, you have agreed, everyone existing within your vibrational level has agreed to allow for this change in your electromagnetic energy, in your veil, that limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. So entities who don't agree with it or don't want to be participating in it, it's not right or wrong. It's a choice that you can make, absolutely. The irony of it is that the new entities, what you refer to as your new children coming into this vibrational level, are bringing in with them more of an understanding of their creation process. And you, as entities existing in your so-called past incarnational periods or in your so-called past generations, are looking at that and saying, these children are somehow gifted, and you're labeling them. And many of your so-called new agers are calling them the indigo children. And these children are coming in with an understanding within their consciousness that they're not truly aware of consciously, but consciously they're aware that they can have things if they so desire. It's not that they are asking for them. It's not that they are going around saying, well, if I do this, then I can have this. Absolutely not. They're claiming what's theirs. If I hold this belief, I can have that reality. It's not a asking, and in many cases it becomes very difficult for your so-called past generation to deal with that type of attitude. But nonetheless, many of your so-called past generations also look at these so-called new indigo children as being very gifted. They're not really gifted. They're just entities who are beginning to become aware of your alteration of the so-called veil that claim their right to achieve whatever it is they desire based upon the belief they hold. It's something that's available to everyone. They simply hold it as being an absolute, not something that they wish for. Not something, well, maybe if I ask, or maybe God will give me this if I do this. Absolutely not. It's, I want this, if I hold this, I will have it. It's there. And many times if you ask those children, how did you get that? I just wanted it. It was just there. You mean, how did I get that? It's mine. And so it becomes difficult to grasp that. But those are children who are coming in to your new age and new energy with that understanding. We've also suggested, indeed, that the next generation would be the children who come in not only with that understanding, but with the understanding that what they desire, that what they reach for, what they demand as theirs, is there because they create it from a position of absolute unconditional love. And when they hold that at a conscious level, when you begin to consciously understand that the reality that you're experiencing as well as the reality that all the other entities are experiencing come from a position of absolute unconditional love, and when you hold that belief system at a conscious level, then it becomes very difficult to be involved in any type of conflict with another entity. And so they are what we would refer to as the peacemakers, the new agers, the true entities of this new age and new energy that you have become involved in, that you have agreed to participate in, and that if you choose, will have the capacity in what you refer to as another incarnational period to be one of those peacemakers. And then you will have the answer to your question. Does that answer your question?
I have a question. Okay, you say we are here to experience a variety of intense emotions, but you also say that if we don't like our reality, we can change our beliefs and change our reality. Well, if we do that, are we defeating the purpose of being here?
What we're suggesting is that you can change the reality. Absolutely. And if you change the reality, indeed, you can change as well the emotions and feelings. But the emotions and feelings will still have that intensity. What emotion or feeling do you desire to experience? That's the question. You see, the spot of consciousness that you are once again creates the reality that you desire to allow you to have that experience of intense range of emotions and feelings. Without judging whether or not that feeling is a more valuable feeling than that feeling. You see, it's in your awakened consciousness state that you put the values on, that you say, this is good and this is bad. This is a good feeling and this is a bad feeling. The intense range of emotions and feelings does not change. Absolutely not. The intensity is there. It's the emotion or feeling that you can change. The intensity remains. In the stock of consciousness that you are, desires that intensity. It allows you to experience a feeling and emotion at an intensity that's not available in other vibrational levels. It's why we choose to enter into your vibrational level, and we welcome this opportunity to interact. For through our friend Elias, we get the opportunity to experience and to exchange those emotions and feelings that are not possible for us to experience at a vibrational level where we understand that time and space don't exist, where we understand that we are the creator, where we understand indeed that while we can have an experience, there's a limitation to the emotions and feelings when you know you're creating the experience. It's like you walk into a theater and you see this display, and we've used this analogy many times. You walk into a theater and you see a display upon the screen. And you look at that theater and you look at that production. And you realize that it's just a trick of lights. That what you're viewing is indeed a projection of someone else's production, someone else's thought. And yet you can look at that projection as illusionary as you recognize it to be, and still understand and feel certain emotions and feelings. You can go through a whole range of emotions and feelings in a span of an hour of your so-called awakened consciousness time. You can span many, many years of illusionary reality on that screen. And all of the emotions and feelings that go with it. But however, when you leave the theater, you know it was just an illusion. So the emotions and feelings don't have the same intensity as what you experience in the real theater. When you get out, and this is real. Now this is beyond my control. Now this is something that some other entity is putting in place, and I'm having the experience, and I don't have the control. Now, you want to have experiences where the emotions and feelings are intense emotions and feelings of what you term as joy, or what you have term as grief or negative experiences. The choice is yours. The stock of consciousness that you are does not judge whether or not that emotion and feeling is a positive or negative one. It simply rejoices at the intensity of the feeling. Whether it's right or wrong is an awakened human consciousness concept. So you can have, not only can have, but do have whatever it is that you desire. And only in your awakened consciousness state will you look upon an experience and say that that is a negative emotion, I don't want to have that anymore. Many individuals in their awakened consciousness state experience certain emotions as not being negative, but indeed as being a positive emotion that allows them to go into a different type of reality creation process. Not necessarily negative. Right or wrong, good or bad, negative or positive, are human consciousness awakened concepts. So, the intensity of your so-called feelings and emotions remain. It's just, you change the particular reality, and so you experience an emotion that in your awake consciousness state is more desirable. In your level of consciousness from which you participate in the creation process, there is no judgment as to which is most desirable. You simply create the reality to validate the beliefs and to have the experience. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Well now, it has been indeed a very enjoyable interaction in the afternoon, and we would like to express our gratitude to each of you. And we would remind you once again that we are not separated by time or space, but rather by a vibrational level. And should you choose to interact with us, you have but to express the intent, and we would welcome that interaction and opportunity to share with each of you. Now, until we had this opportunity to interact with you once again, we would bid each of you farewell with love and with peace.